Hello and welcome to another segment of Open House here at Community Media. I'm Raymond Galker, and this is the show where we bring fantastic, awesome people from the community that is making our county, our area, a great place to live. And we're not going to let you down today either. We have Andrew Dalton with us, who is the president and CEO of, I'm going to call it the Adams County Historic Society, but it's not known as that now, is it?
Right, yeah, we've just actually rebranded to call ourselves Gettysburg History, which is a little more broad and helps to encompass all of the various things that we do.
Okay, and I think all, do you have a mission statement, though?
We do, and it's to tell the story and preserve the story of this place. It's one of the most remarkable communities in the world. So we're very fortunate to be in Gettysburg, and we still, you know, collect and preserve the history of all of the areas around the borough of Gettysburg. But Gettysburg's the county seat, and everybody knows that word all around the nation and even abroad. So we've leaned into this new brand, and we're in the process of changing the legal name of the organization. But it's always, at its heart, it started as a county historical society, and we'll always have that as part of what we do.
Okay. So there's a historic, there's a New Oxford Historic Society.
Right.
There's a Hanover Historic Society. There's one in York, and I don't think they call themselves the York Historic Society either anymore.
Right.
But you do have relationships with those.
We do.
Those individuals.
Yeah, I think it's important to embrace all of the regional, local partners, and we're all working towards the same goal. We're all preserving not just the stories of this community, but the physical artifacts and remnants of these people's lives. You know, we have more than a million historical items in our collection. It's hard to actually get an exact count because there's so much. But we're also the unofficial county archives. The county has given us on permanent loan tens of thousands of records. So whether it's birth certificates or deeds or wills, it's all at our headquarters, 625 Biglerville Road, just north of Gettysburg. And people can come in and enjoy seeing those materials, especially if they're related. Maybe they have a family connection. Maybe they own a historic property. They want to learn a little bit more. But we also operate two museums and soon to be three. So it's a growing organization.
Yes, and that's exciting. The growth that came about under your leadership. I don't know if that vision was prior or if it was a consequence. Because the Historic Society has changed. I think it's always been intentional and strategic. But I think it's a little bit more connective and explosive. I mean, you guys are doing fantastic initiatives, I would call them.
Thank you.
And it's not like your plan is a, hey, this would be nice to do type of thing. It's seems to be, this is something that the community needs. Mm-hmm. And we're the organization that can make it happen.
Yeah, I think that, you know, one of the most important things a community can have is an identity and a sense of, you know, this is who we are and we all are part of this story. And 5-6 years ago, our organization was in an old Victorian house that was literally crumbling. We had no fire, you know, suppression system, no security, no climate control for our archives. And a lot of our collection was actually in storage out at a warehouse. And it was a pretty bleak time. And thanks to the help of many people throughout, not just in our community, but around the country, we raised $12 million to get ourselves out of that position, to build a new facility, to get our collection under one roof, and in the proper state of organization preservation. And I think it's been a real whirlwind for sure to see this kind of growth. We've gone from 3 staff to 30 in the past 6 years, 5-6 years. But with that comes an enormous amount of benefits to the community. We are putting together hundreds of programs every year for people to come out of all ages, We have these museums where people can understand, come in and actually really learn the story of this place and how it's developed over time. One of my favorite things about what we do is just that, you know, if you go to some of the other museums in Gettysburg, everything is about 1863 and the Civil War. And obviously, that's the biggest moment in our story. Everybody knows it. But there are so many other chapters to the story. And our museum, Beyond the Battle, goes all the way back to dinosaurs and rock formations and minerals and meteorites and Native Americans. And then it kind of weaves its way through time, through the Battle of Gettysburg, with a real emphasis on how the community went through that period, and then takes the story all the way up to the present with figures like Dwight D. Eisenhower, who called this place his home, but also the many other stories, the fruit industry, the development of different towns, you know, and townships outside of Gettysburg, the commercialization and preservation and the fight over the battlefield, how is it going to be managed. And so all of those themes and stories and chapters and people go beyond just 1863 and just 3 days in July of 1863. So that's what we've really attempted to do. And it makes me very happy when we have folks from our community, no matter if they're in their 80s or they're 8 years old, and they come in and they see, you know, where their house is today on an old map, or they see their family name on an old document, or they just go through our immersive experience where they're in a house during the battle experiencing what it was like for the families. And you can just sense the amazement and the awe of being connected to this story, and that we're only separated by time. We're walking the same streets, we're walking into the same buildings. This room we're sitting in, you know, had many uses before it was a television studio. Mm-hmm. And so I love that we can connect people in a way that makes them feel like they're just part of this big, long story and that they have a place in it. And that's fundamentally what we do. And it's a very exciting time for us.
In many ways. And the community. Thanks for choosing Gettysburg to be the place that you excel in your talents and your skills, because Andrew, your energy, your character, your ability to connect with people, your sincerity, is honored.
Well, thank you. That means a lot. Well, this is my home. I grew up here, and it's an enormous privilege to be able to be here and be part of this community, having, you know, everything. I owe everything to this place, and so to be able to give back and to be involved in a something that's much bigger than I initially envisioned it, it's very exciting. And, you know, I really love this place. I think that Gettysburg really deserves to shine even brighter than it does. You know, there's other major American destinations out there like Williamsburg and Mount Vernon, and you could, the list goes on and on. And it seems like Gettysburg sometimes falls behind a little bit in terms of prominence and the amount of coverage it's getting and the amount of visitors who come here. And so I really feel that, at least for now, and I hope for many years, my life's work is to try to make this place a little more important in the eyes of the country. I just think that the story that we have is, it's not just for the community, it really is a story for all of America. And Gettysburg, I mean, if you look at the battlefield and you look at just that story in Lincoln's Gettysburg Address, it's a powerful lesson in how America has got to this moment and all of the turns and twists in the road. It's not been a perfect journey, but I think that by coming here, Americans can really get a better sense and maybe some hope for the future, because we've been through difficult times before, extremely difficult times, and we've made it through. And I think at the micro level, we have a community that's been through some very difficult times, and that's the story that we in particular try to tell. And that this community, you know, has weathered enormous storms and can in the future. And so I hope that people come here and it's not just about walking around the battlefield and learning, it's also some inspiration and some confidence that we're going to be able to get through anything.
The nice thing about Gettysburg, and I think it is also the same, Andrew, with Upper Adams. You know, this is amazing area. I mean, it is. But it seems to be Family is, it seems to be very, very important. Mm-hmm. I think contributing and being part of the community has always been extremely important. And I think also a spirituality, be a traditional church or a sense that that you're a part of something greater.
Yeah.
And I think that has always been a part of this area, and to this day is also something that you experience when you come to Gettysburg.
I completely agree. I think people feel that we're caretakers of something much bigger. And whether it's the battlefield or the beautiful country and open land that we have to protect here in Adams County, I do think people feel that we're all collectively responsible for making sure this place is here 100 years from now and can be enjoyed in the same way. Not to say we shouldn't have progress. You know, it's nice to have new restaurants and new stores, but we also have this mission of preservation that I think is central. And a lot of other communities, I think, they don't have what we have. I mean, it really is a story for everyone, and that is, you know, why millions of people come here every year, because they want to have this experience.
And as you say, everyone's story is important. Everyone's story that you can preserve in the future, but everyone's story that they're having now.
Yeah,
also.
Absolutely.
So, yep. Andrew, Tim Smith, amazing individual. We had him on and we had a chance to sit down and interview him. And the fact that he would ride his bicycle from his home in Taneytown, was it?
Right, I think Westminster.
Westminster?
Yeah.
On a regular basis after school to come to Gettysburg and hang out on the battlefield and go to the stores and interact with those people who shared the passion for history, and then eventually have the opportunity to work with Dr. Glatfelter.
Yep.
Now he's what, the county?
He is the county historian now, which is wonderful.
But when I talked to him, he said he knows one other person like that, and that's you. Is it true that when you were a younger man, that you spent your free time involved and immersed in history?
Yeah, people ask me sometimes when it started, and it's hard to pinpoint. I think I've always had some sort of a affinity for it. I can't remember a time when some people picked up a book in a library or something and that was it. But when I was 3 years old, almost four, we moved from Westminster actually to Gettysburg.
Okay.
So Tim and I have something in common there. And my dad, who's no longer with us, took me out on the battlefield all the time. And we would walk and look at monuments and go on ranger programs and explore. Sometimes we'd try to find something that, you know, is off the beaten path. And I had a little old camera, like a Kodak, mm-hmm. and where you still had to take the film in to develop it, which is something that's totally foreign to us now. Mm-hmm. But I had a camera, and I tried to take a picture of every monument. I'm not sure why I wanted to do this, but so I took the pictures over the period of 4 or 5 years, maybe when I was, you know, 8 to 11 or 12. And I had a giant wall, and I put all the pictures up on the wall. I had this giant collage of all the monuments. So I don't know what drew me to it, but I credit my dad for getting me out there. And then when I was a little older, I started to come into the Historical Society, and Tim took me under his wing and allowed me to really explore, you know, all of what he was working on, projects, research. He was always busy with something, and he allowed me to be part of that, which is pretty exciting. It was pretty exciting for somebody when I was only 15, 16 years old.
So I see a young Andrew getting up in the morning and before you went to bed the night before, thinking about, okay, I'm going to go to school, but as soon as school was over, I'm going to head over to the Historic Society.
That's true, yep.
And Tim is working on this project, mm-hmm. and I was helping him yesterday, and today we got to get this done, and we want to see it go this farther.
Exactly.
So, yep. You know, what a great opportunity that what a great passion that your parents was able to nurture within you.
Yeah.
And for you to be able to experience going to high school and being excited about being with other passionate individuals.
Yeah, I couldn't wait to get out of school so that I could go back to the Historical Society. It was a place of discovery. I understand why a lot of people think history is boring, because the way that it's taught, and not every teacher, but the way it's taught is typically just, we're going to make you read this textbook, and then you're going to have to memorize all the dates and names and then recite them back to us on a test. That is not history, in my view. History is storytelling, and everybody loves a good story, no matter what their interest level is. And I was really struck by the fact that, especially with local history, everything you open, every box you look at, every book you open, there is some sort of a story. And in most cases, these stories have never seen the light of day. The history books tend to repeat the same stories over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. You know, you got, you know, George Washington, Betsy Ross, Abraham Lincoln, Eisenhower, etc., which are all wonderful stories. But there's something powerful in those hidden stories. And there's, that was what excited me, that there are people's, there are stories out there that we can tell that are just as good and just as exciting and just as powerful. And I can be the first to put that story out there. And so the idea of research and discovery and finding new things, that I think is what makes history exciting, at least to me. And then being able to go out and visit a place in our community where history happened, where something important happened, maybe even where a historic photo was taken, and to be able to stand in that exact same place, separated only by 150 years, mm-hmm. Or 100 years, depending, and to be able to piece that story back together today, in today's world. Mm-hmm. I love that. I love, you know, everything about archives and historical societies and museums, because you can dig and find incredible things that have never been been seen before.
Yeah, over there's the boxes.
Right.
You know, just like you said, at one point you had all these boxes in storage.
Yeah, right.
You know, and it's amazing to me that someone can come into the Historic Society and you be organized enough that if they're looking for something, there's some type of process or way that they could actually go about finding something.
Yeah, that is, and that's, I knew Dr. Glatfelter, Charles Glatfelter, in my early years when I went to the Historical Society, and he was incredible. Really, we owe so much to him because he built that collection. I mean, we have, I said, more than a million items. A lot of that's because of him. He opened up doors. He got, you know, people to donate things, and then the organizational system that we use is very much grounded in his leadership in the beginning. But you're right; it's hard to find things, and we still have an enormous amount of material that has not really been looked through, and that we're still organizing and sorting, and so that's how we continue to find new things. When I was in, I think, late high school, maybe early college, I was a volunteer there at the Historical Society, and they had me going through unsorted, unlabeled boxes, and there were shelves and shelves of them. Some of them had labels on them; the label had like fallen off, or some were just donations that had been received but never organized. And I was going through this one box of old papers. It was scrap paper, really. Some local business owner in the mid-1800s was just basically writing notes about his business, you know, how sales for the day or totaling up inventory. And I'm flipping and flipping and flipping, just loose pages. And one of the pages I flipped over, and it says, program from the dedication of a soldier's national cemetery at Gettysburg, November 19th, 1863. And it was a program from the Gettysburg Address. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't believe it. I took it upstairs to show my my boss at the time, Ben Neely, who you've interviewed. Mm-hmm. And he was just blown away. And we didn't have one. I don't think anyone in Gettysburg has one. There's a couple in private collections. I think the National Archives has one or two. But we didn't know we had that, and it had been just used by some, you know, this business owner as scrap paper. Mm-hmm. And so that's in our museum now, and I walk by that, and I think, you know, I don't know if I'll ever find anything quite that interesting digging through our boxes. Right. You never know. But that's the beauty of archives and about places like ours where when things are going to be thrown away or when somebody's kids are cleaning out their parents' garage or attic, don't throw it out. You know, take it to the local historical society or museum because it could be something like that. That's one of a kind. Let me tell one more quick story about that.
Tell three or four.
This one is again something that I think about this a lot. There was a young man from Gettysburg named John Holoka, who went off. He served in Vietnam. I think he was drafted, although he may have enlisted. He went to Gettysburg High School, had a family here, had two sisters, I believe. And within, I think, a year of his deployment, he's killed. And his personal effects are sent back to the family. They actually use the soap dish that was Army issued, and they'd put anything found on the body in the soap dish. And so they mailed that home. They mailed home the jacket he was wearing when he was killed, which is stained with his blood. He never had any children. He went off when he was a single man. And his two sisters didn't have any children either. And so his parents died eventually. His sister died. The second sister died maybe 5 or 6 years ago. And there was no one left to take any of the possessions. And I might get the details slightly off because I haven't talked to this woman in a while, but I think it was the next door neighbor who was aware of the fact that this woman, this elderly woman, had some items from her brother who was killed in Vietnam. And so she took it upon herself to go into the house, talk to whoever was handling the estate. I mean, stuff was being probably shipped off to be sold in antique stores and, you know, it was given to the rescue mission, whatever. I mean, it was all being dispersed. You know, there's probably a big dumpster outside the house. That's right, how these things go.
Yeah.
And somehow she went in and she rescued his personal effects, his jacket, and his Purple Heart, and she brought them in to us. And that Purple Heart and his picture, because of her, are now on display, the very last thing you see before you leave the museum. And I love to stop at that picture and talk about him because, you know, a lot of people don't have kids. And so there's no one to really carry on your legacy. And that's why museums and historical societies are so important, because this guy's story could have been in a dumpster. You know, his personal effects, his jacket, they could have been sold at a flea market or an antique store. And instead, his story is now being seen by literally tens of thousands and over time millions of people who come through our museum. So it gives me chills when I think about it, because we all want to be remembered. And especially somebody who literally sacrificed their life for this country, to then have his stuff just disappear into thin air, it would have been an injustice to his memory. So I'm really happy when I see that and I think about him and his story. And we've actually had classmates of his from Gettysburg High School in tears standing in front of it looking at that picture of him because they knew him before he went off and lost his life. So those are the types of things that make, I think, what we do really important. There's a lot of wonderful nonprofits in this community. And I think they're all extremely important and do great work. And I think ours fits well into that network because we are keeping people's stories alive. And in a community, you know, without that, we don't have a community.
So the human element is what is the most important story.
Yeah, sure.
It's not the facts. It's not,
exactly.
You know.
Yeah, yep.
Yeah. And if we could help other people experience what it's like, and being in another person's position. I mean, I remember the stories of the people who lived in Gettysburg during the Civil War and how they'd climb up on the roofs.
Yeah, sure.
To watch it.
Right.
With the bullets going off and you know, flying by.
Yeah.
To take the time and have the imagination to put yourself in that place. But you're a unique individual in many ways. in order to find a passion, not everybody realizes their passion. Mm-hmm. And then be able to connect with the community, with others that share that same passion. That must be, you know, a unique experience when you bounce into someone that that you have a relationship with, or even if you don't, that comes in but has this passion and you see it overflowing.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, I try not to take for granted how lucky I am to do what I love. I think a lot of people don't get that opportunity. That's why I hope to do this for a very long time. But I also think you're right. I mean, having a mentor or someone that inspires you is so important. And that's why I try to tell, when I speak to students, high school or college, I tell them to just go out, like get out of your bubble, go outside your campus, your classroom, and find something in your community that makes you excited. If you have the opportunity to get in there and really shadow or learn from somebody, that is the best chance you have to really get into a place where you're doing what you love. And I've just been very lucky. I mean, a lot of things were complete luck when I graduated from college. I did not intend to stay here and do this. I had given notice to my boss that I was leaving. Then he went to another historical society to run it, and I was kind of one of the only employees there who had a very small understanding of what his day-to-day job consisted of. And so I'm not sure why our board allowed me to do that. It was probably not the smartest decision because I had no experience at all. I'm glad that they trusted me. I'm honored that they trusted me. I learned a lot on the job for sure, and I still do. There was a lot of luck there.
And this was 6 years ago.
Yeah, 2019.
Mm-hmm. And they saw another Tim Smith. I mean, your stories are somewhat similar.
They are. Yeah, I think he knows a lot more than I do, and his memory is incredible. He taught me everything I know about history. I mean, he taught me, and I think Dr. Glatfelter, and also a historian, William Frazzanito, who you've probably heard of. Those were kind of his mentors. But he taught me that, you know, getting it right and being as true to the facts is the start and finish of everything in history. It is not about it's not about you. It's not about you putting your own opinion or your own philosophy into it. That immediately alienates people. That your job as a historian is to follow the evidence and the facts, and then use those to tell the best story that you can tell. I think that historians like Tim, you know, at the local level especially, understand how to connect with people much better than a PhD historian at a big university.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the purpose of history really is community service, that our job is to bring people together around a common story and help them understand that they're part of the story and of this place. Mm-hmm. And Tim gets that. Every program he gives, he entertains, sometimes people get emotional. He puts everything into it to get the story right and to tell the story as compellingly as he can. So having learned from that, it's really shaped, I think, how I view these things. He's been there for me and supported everything that I've done since the very beginning when I first walked in the doors. Mm-hmm. I was a little familiar with him. I had watched him on Gettysburg Daily, which was a website that used to put videos of licensed battlefield guides up. And so I knew of him, and I had read a couple of his books. And when I first met him, I remember I was a little starstruck because mm-hmm. he is kind of the guy who knows everything. And you never know how you're going to be treated as a young person when you're 15, 16. And I think he talked about this in his interview too. But you never know whether you're going to be accepted or whether you're going to be just discounted as a kid who doesn't know anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he had the experience when he first came to the Historical Society here that they welcomed him and they allowed him to be part of the conversation and to help. Mm-hmm. but they just as easily could have said, you know, you don't know, you're just a kid, mm-hmm. you know. And he, with me, was the same way. He immediately, the first time I came in, he took seriously what I was working on. He helped me. I ended up writing a book when I was in high school about the property, the history of the land around where I live now, which is west of Gettysburg on Willoughby Run, or Willoughby's Run, I should say. And Tim, from day one, he had binders and photos and stuff out waiting for me to help me with this project. Mm-hmm. And then once I was done with that project, he asked me to help him with some things that he was working on. And so it was fun and rewarding because of the work that we were doing, but also it was an enormous crash course in how to do history in the very best way.
You both have somewhat the same heart, the same passion. And Tim, when we spoke, as you said, he was very grateful of people who accepted him, but seen themselves in him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think Tim was able to see himself in you, you know. And yes, you may not know as much as Tim. I mean, Tim is, he's very, very good at understanding human experience. He's very good at understanding facts and figures.
Sure.
And he's very good at telling a story.
Yep.
But your ability to bring people together for a purpose is phenomenal, which is maybe on a different scale than Tim's.
We have different sets of tools, I think.
Yes.
He is unrivaled in his knowledge of this place. And that's why we are constantly on a daily, weekly, if not daily basis, we're sending him questions or asking him to help with something that we know that he's going to be able, he either knows the answer or he knows where to find the answer. Mm-hmm. That's what we used to say about Dr. Glatfelter. Mm-hmm. He either knew the answer immediately or he knew exactly where to go to get it. I think I also learned a lot from Ben Neely, who's now the president of the York History Center. Mm-hmm. He was my predecessor, and he taught me a lot about the management, fundraising, and kind of organizational aspects of this role. And I think I called him, you know, every week for the first 6 months, maybe of my time here, because I was extremely overwhelmed and I had a lot of doubt about whether I could be successful. And I didn't feel that I was prepared in any way to mm-hmm. do it. He was very reassuring in that, you know, he gave me some confidence that I really needed. Mm-hmm. And others did too. I remember the first time someone donated $100,000 and I was just absolutely blown away. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh my gosh, this might actually be possible. And every time, you know, there's another touch point like that, I still get surprised. I think doubt is good. I think a healthy amount of doubt is very important mm-hmm. when we're trying to do another museum project right now. And, you know, I swing wildly back and forth between we've got this, you know, and we need a lot more support to get this done. Mm-hmm. So I think the doubt is helpful. But every time I just had lunch with somebody the other day, and I think they're going to give a gift of that level or maybe higher. And it just, it's such a burst of excitement when you can get, you know, the type of support like that you need to really make big things happen. Because mm-hmm. People are out there waiting to find a way to have a meaningful contribution. And so for some people, you know, it's time and it's putting, you know, their heart and their time into something. For some people, they're able to give at an extremely generous level and that equally moves mountains. So anytime we can pick up that kind of an ally and have someone really say, I believe in you, I know that this is important and I want to be part of it. It just makes me feel like we're on our way to achieving more good things.
Now, you have an amazing team.
We do, yeah. And it's bigger than, it's now around 30 people from part-time and full-time. At multiple sites, we have two main locations now, Beyond the Battle Museum The Shriver House Museum, which we purchased last year, and that's in downtown Gettysburg on Baltimore Street. And then the third museum that we're working on is the Hopkins House on South Washington Street, and that'll be a Black History Museum. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're working on now. We're fundraising. We have restored this log cabin from the 1840s. It's almost done. And then we're going to build a museum space onto the back of it and hopefully open that museum in early 2028. We still have a lot of fundraising to do, a lot of planning, but I think it's going to be really extraordinary. And I couldn't do any of this without the incredible team that we have. We have, at every level, we've got a great senior leadership team that is involved in every project, and especially our film festival that we do every year with Ken Burns. That's something that I could not do it without the support of the team. That we have. And then everything all the way down to our volunteers. We have more than 70 volunteers that work in the archives, in the research room, and in our museum at Beyond the Battle. And they really are the beating heart of the whole thing. We couldn't do it without them.
So do you see any Andrew Daltons in that group? I mean, is there some kids?
I hate to compare, some kids
that are going to school and they're,
I hope that
they're not listening
people...
to their teachers. They're thinking about getting out of school.
I definitely didn't listen to my teachers.
Do you have a program for young people? I mean,
not yet. We're hoping, we have an internship program over the summer, and we have excellent students from especially Gettysburg College and Shippensburg University that come to work with us over the summer, and they do all kinds of projects. We've hired multiple people out of those internships because they're so excellent. We need to do more to engage local kids who are growing up here. Because in a lot of cases, the college students, they come and go. And it's wonderful to have their help while they're here. But we do need to work on having more people who grew up here, who feel that same sense of community that Tim did, that I did, that Dr. Glatfelter did. And we need to do a better job of getting them in our doors to get inspired. And so that's definitely high on my priority list.
They have to be a bicycle right away. I mean,
that's true. Well, there are a lot of kids. I mean, I'm so encouraged, though, when I meet young people. We've worked with some high school students related to the film festival and just related to some other smaller projects at the museum. And I do see that there are a lot of kids out there who really do want to make a difference. And mm-hmm. and I think young people get a little bit of a tough reputation. Sometimes people criticize young people, but there's, you can't group a whole, age together and criticize them. There's some really good people that I see who are, who want to do good and want to make change. And I hope, as I get older, there are people who come along with better ideas and bigger ideas, because I think we have a tendency to get comfortable over time with change and the scale of these big things. And so I'm hoping, and I already see it with some of our younger staff, that they have really excellent ideas, and I want to give them the ability to run with those ideas, like people allowed me to do.
That's amazing. And I'm going to come back to that. But it's almost like a fraternity now. Tim.
Right.
Andrew.
Yeah.
Now you guys got to find the next young person that you're going to pass the baton to.
Not to be cynical, but I do, I worry a little bit because I don't, there was a bigger group with Tim. When Tim was maybe my age, a little older, and he was kind of considered the young guy. There were a lot of folks like Gary Adelman, Wayne Motz, I could go on and on. And they were really excited and interested in Gettysburg. I do think, I don't see as much of that as I'd like to see. And so I really do think it's important that we nurture it and we actively seek out, the people who are going to be the next storytellers.
I think that's important for every community.
Mm-hmm.
Fairfield, Carroll Valley.
Sure.
Every community needs to have a sense of identity, mm-hmm. past, connection,
right.
Tradition.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And I see it also this way, Andy. Our youth is our responsibility. Mm-hmm. It's the community's responsibility.
Absolutely.
Yep. They have to be taught.
Mm-hmm.
They have to be taught respect. They have to be, in a way, they have to be given the opportunity to be put in different situations so they could find what their gifts and talents are.
Right.
And what their passions are. And of course, we're organized in doing that with music and theater. Mm-hmm. We're organized in doing that with dance. We're organized in doing that with sports.
Right, right.
You know? I think the Adams County Arts Council does a fantastic job. But I guess my hope, personally, is that as a community, we can create opportunities that are very diverse and very encompassing. Of course, you know, were you a scout when you were growing up?
No, but a lot of people I know did it.
Right.
But there is a sense, you're right, that gives people a real sense of identity and community.
And exposure to different talents and skills and love of outdoors,
absolutely,
working together. So, you know, I'm sure there's young people like that that would love to have that passion of history.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. And when our doors are open, I mean, we have all of our museums in our research room are free to all Adams County students, K through 12 and undergraduate. So we have had a lot of folks come in, but I'm glad we had this conversation because there's always more to be done. And I think that we need to do more to really get out there and recruit and make sure people know who we are, what we have, mm-hmm. and the needs that are there to get some of these projects done.
And to be there for the kids. I mean, if they come in, that's great, but if it was, you know, someone there that was their mentor, as you said.
Yeah.
And everybody needs a mentor.
That's
everybody
right. That's so true.
You need a mentor and you need an advocate.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm in my 70s and I still need an advocate.
Yeah.
Probably more now than I ever did. You know, Andrew?
Yeah.
Fantastic work. You are doing a fantastic job. You have a great story.
Thank you.
You were given an opportunity. First of all, you know, the fact that you and Tim spent your young adult life working for the Historic Society and then end up being a major part of it is sort of like what we're talking about with the youth having opportunities, but it's awesome. And then coming into your own, going out, talking to all the townships and boroughs, we bumped heads or cross paths doing the same type of thing, trying to get support for our mission of making the community a better place to live.
Yep.
So everything that has happened, Andrew, has took a lot of time, a lot of intentionality, and a lot of strategic planning. And the people who had faith in you, they didn't let you do that alone. I'm sure they were there through the whole adventure.
That's one. I hate when, and I know people mean well, but when they give me credit for the whole thing, I've never been comfortable with that because it is a village, and people, whether they gave $100 or they joined as a volunteer or they, you know, brought their group to our museum, or you know, some of the people who moved mountains with fundraising, and everybody has played a role, and I feel a lot of love from this community. I do think that people want to see big things happen, and I think people are ready for new adventures and experiences. And I've heard a long time ago, people would say to me, oh, people don't like change here, people don't want to see new things. And I don't think that's true. I think people want to grow and to become bigger than we are. And I'm optimistic about that. And I plan to stay and do this as long as I feel that I can make, you know, that kind of change that I've been able to so far.
And I think they'll support it when they see that there's an organized, well thought out, coordinated purpose and plan behind everything.
Yeah, I mean, that is important. A lot of, you can have a good idea, but you have to have a way to get there.
Right, yep.
But, and I wanna say too, we have been really blessed to have this relationship with Community Media. And at every step, from the minute we launched our capital campaign to build our new home, to just a couple weeks ago when we had an event that Community Media covered, we have not been able to get the word out without you. So I hope everybody who's watching this will check out Community Media and support Community Media, because mm-hmm. you have been an amplifying device for us mm-hmm. in many, many ways. And your team, you just have a phenomenal team here.
Yeah, well, we hope we can grow together. We can partner and help each other be able to fill our vision. Because there's so much we could do for the community. So much we could talk about, but I think, we're running out of time. I mean, I heard that the new library, the old library, is there some type of connection between the Historic Society and...
Not that I know of. That building is incredibly historic, though. It was Eisenhower's office, it was the post office, it was the first visitor center. So you never know. I mean, as we grow, I definitely would be interested in use of that building in some way. But we're a long way off from
okay.
that now.
All right.
But you know,
where did I hear that?
I don't know. I've heard, I have heard folks talking about, the library, and I've talked to a few board members at the library, and I have some crazy ideas for what that building could become, but we're a long ways off, and I wish the library luck with their project and what they're doing. They're also a wonderful organization, and I grew up going in there too, checking uh-huh. out books and going to some programs, children's programs, and uh-huh. They're very much a part of the fabric of the community.
And very important for our youth when we were talking about having mentors, and not only that, I mean... In our community, if you have an idea of from the passion of your heart, if there's something that you love to do and want to build a community around it,
right?
The Adams County Library System is there to help you put a program together.
Yeah, absolutely.
Andrew, thanks for taking the time to come in and speak to us. If somebody wanted to volunteer or give money,
absolutely.
How could they get a hold of you?
Just check out GettysburgHistory.org. That's our website. And you can look for volunteer opportunities, donation opportunities, see all the projects we're working on. And we have a lot of events every month you can go on. Many of them are free or very inexpensive. So if you check that out, and we would love to see you at our museums and at some of these events.
Is there any misconceptions that you see some people having about the Historic Society?
I think the greatest compliment that we receive actually is when people go through our museum, Beyond the Battle, they say, wow, this was a lot more than I expected. And I do think that people think a historical society is stale and it's just a bunch of old stuff on display, and you're just going to walk through and look at the stuff and maybe take a picture and leave. Our museum has, and the Shriver House does too, both of our museums have an enormous kind of interactive component. At Beyond the Battle, we have this room where it's called Caught in the Crossfire, I think you've been through it, but we have light and sound, and it puts you in the place of civilians who are hiding in their home. And at the Shriver House, you can literally go into the real life version of that and stand in their attic that was taken over as a Confederate sharpshooter's nest. And so we tried really hard with Beyond the Battle, and the Shriver House has also lived up to this in its many years of operation, that we've tried very hard to make our museums appealing to anybody, regardless of their interest level. That they're going to come in, and we have scavenger hunts, we have hidden things around, we have artifacts, 1,000 artifacts, really incredible stories that go along with each one. And it's not just kind of an antique mall. And so I think that's the biggest misconception, is that it's just a bunch of old, dusty items sitting out on shelves. And we really do have, our museums tell a story, and they're an experience. And it's kind of like going, to see a movie or, something, mm-hmm. a play, something more engaging. Mm-hmm. So I hope people will check out our museums if they haven't yet done so. Mm-hmm. We do have an Adams County discount at both museums.
There you go. There you go. The human element, mm-hmm. Before we go, you want to say something
I'd love for people to also check out our new Black History Museum that we're working on. It's the Jack Hopkins House on South Washington Street in Gettysburg. And it's a very exciting project. We keep finding artifacts as we restore the building. It's an 1843 log cabin. And when that opens, I think it's going to be a tremendous asset to the community, and it'll fill in a nice part of the story that hasn't always been there. So stay tuned for more information about that as we announce and release more over the next few months. But that's one of my biggest priorities right now, is to get that museum across the finish line.
Great. And then there'll be something else.
Yes.
Then there'll be something else.
That's right. We don't know what yet, but I'm sure there will be something
else. There'll be something else.
Yep.
Yeah, and I had the opportunity and pleasure to work with Lee Emmons when I was teaching at the middle school. We had a artisan residence mm-hmm. Grant from the Adams County Arts Council.
Right.
And we did the video on the African-American history of Gettysburg.
And that's on YouTube if people want to check it out. I watched it there. I think we may have put it up because we had a tape. But the oral history interviews that you did with mm-hmm. folks, the photos and storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
And that was many years ago, probably in the 90s or early 2000s. It's fantastic that community media has had a part in telling mm-hmm. those stories. And, mm-hmm. And again, everybody's story matters. It doesn't matter where you come from, who you are. Your story is part of the story of this community.
And
that's a big part of it.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut
you
off. And I think the People Project mm-hmm. is a good component to that.
Absolutely.
So, okay.
Thank you.
I'm definitely going to let you go, Andrew. It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ray. It's always great to be here.
Yep. Thanks for watching this segment of Open House here at Community Media. We didn't leave you down. We brought someone who is amazing and doing great work here in Adams County, making us a more pleasurable individual living in this county. And please take the time to find your pleasure, your passion in your heart, and get involved in the community and be connected. Till we have a chance to bring someone else almost as good as Andrew into the studio. Be kind, be healthy, and remember, you are the best.
This program is made possible by these municipalities through a portion of their cable franchise fees. Abbottstown Borough, Cumberland Township, Berwick Township, Freedom Township, Gettysburg Borough, Germany Township, Hamilton Township, Hamilton Band Township, Mount Pleasant Township, New Oxford Borough, Oxford Township, Reading Township, and Strabane Township. Thank you to our amazing sponsors: Adams County Community Foundation, Adams County Sports Hall of Fame, Adams County Trout Unlimited, Classic Antique Innovations, Destination Gettysburg, Exchange Club of Hanover, and Gettysburg Railway. We would also like to thank all of our Patreon members. In the Attaboy tier, Rachel Beard. In the Contributing Producer tier, Zelma's Emporium. Visit our website to learn how to become a sponsor or Patreon member, communitymedia.net. Community Media, celebrating who we are and what we do as a community. And be sure to follow us on all social media platforms. Thank you.